Send it out after.
For who? Thank you all for thank you all for joining us. So we're going to be learning a little bit today about insight, the concept of insight, and its parallels into Hasidic thought. So we have over here from the APA's dictionary as insight the clear and often sudden discernment of the solution to a problem by means that are not obvious, it may never become so, even after one has tried hard at or arrived at a solution. There are many theories how insight is formed and kinds of insights that exist. So, in the 1990s, we had one theory over here, that there was selective encoding insights, which are used to distinguish relevant from irrelevant information. You know, that filter that we have, trying to figure out, well, you know, what this is, what this isn't. You know, we're saying, oh no, if there's no sauce in the chicken, what are our options? Well, the tablecloth is blue. That's an irrelevant piece of information, as opposed to, oh, there's sauces downstairs. That's a relevant piece of information. Mm-hmm. Selective comprehension insights, which are used to distinguish what information is already stored in long-term memory, is relevant for other purposes. Again, the knowledge that you saw hot sauce downstairs earlier today, and you stuck that away in your long-term memory, you can file and say, ooh, there's hot sauce downstairs. I can save the day over here. And C, selective combination insights, which are used to put together available information to formulate a solution to a given problem. Again, based on what I have, being able to, you know, to deal with all of this creatively. In psychotherapy, an awareness of underlying source of emotional, cognitive, behavioral responses, difficulties in oneself and another person. Right? So, oftentimes, what will happen, definitely, you know, in more of a psychoanalytic approach, what we're looking for is the insight. What we're looking for is not like in a CBT or DBT model where we're working on dealing with certain processes as we're, you know, as we're working on them and learning how to react to them. Here are the talking cure, as it were, emerges through discussion, through having the conversation. And then all of a sudden realizing why certain things are occurring in your life, why you're reacting in certain ways. What is this based on a previous pattern? Is this based on something that's happened to you? Reaching that insight, part of that is curative. You haven't necessarily learned a new schema. You haven't learned a new skill. You've just all of a sudden hit upon an insight of why this is, of how this is, of what this concept has been playing out in your life. So, looking at this article now, it's available, by the way, you can get it at the library through the resources that you have if you want to read the whole thing. One source that I saw earlier is that despite the emphasis on insight in psychoanalytic literature, the word insight in German does not appear so often in Kisve Freud, and in the writings of Freud. So we're going to start with the end and work at the beginning. Like any good peer-reviewed paper, you read the abstract, you read the conclusion, and if you actually want to know what it's about, so you read the insight also. But we'll start with the conclusion and then read the middle. So the concept of insight appears in many different contexts in the history of psychodynamic psychotherapies. Although it began with Freud's hope that insight into the source of a disabling symptom would remove that symptom, right? All of a sudden, I try to find out why is it that I alphabetize my socks and can't leave the house without alphabetizing my socks. You know, all the blacks, then the browns, then the oranges, and then finally the whites. You know, it has something to do with something in my childhood, so some need or drive for order, right? Once I have insight into why I do it, according to Freud, that would solve the puzzle. And there's because in order to get to this part in the subconscious, which I was not going into, I was trying to avoid, I was trying not to think about, and I was accessing it, you know, through the ego. By bringing it to light, that helps it get cured. However, like he says, although it began with Freud's hope that the insight of a source of the disabling symptom would remove that symptom, the emphasis on insight became generalized to fit many features of the therapy process. The analytic literature has treated insight as both a means to an end in itself, the cause of change and the result of change. Right? So it could be both. Is it the path that we walk on, or is it the end result? Those are the friends that you make along the way, right? It seems to be in the literature that it would to a certain extent be both. That whether it's understanding my circumstance and that's part of what the cure is, or sometimes it's working through things and then arriving at the insight. But either which way, getting there is what provides some relief. Getting there is getting there and understanding what the situation is, what the problem is, that's what's going to breed the relief that we're looking for. Although a high value on insight has characterized the psychoanalytic movement from its inception through its most recent theoretical developments, there have been few empirical attempts to operationalize the concept. Because we are specifically interested in the increase of the insight that psychoanalytic clinical theorists consider product or byproduct of successful therapy, we devised an instrument that has shown promise in examining its phenomenon in the context of overall progress. We're going to look at at this instrument right now. We hope that some readers will find themselves interested to measure the concept of insight more fully and examine it empirically in the ways described. Right? So they created a rating system how to understand the power of the insight which has been furnished, how to rate it, and how to understand it. So here we are on page 3, 21 in the article. Insight refers to the development of the new understanding of the part of the patient, which is related to the issues that he or she is presenting in therapy. Right? So they come, they speak about the issue, and then the following insights occur. All of the following are considered indications of the insight: recognition or patterns or connections. Right? Number one, the patient comes to see a link between current and past relationships, between two or more current relationships, between the transference relationship and significant other, between how others have treated the patient and how he or she treats him or herself. The idea of transference means that we take the ground rules of a certain relationship and then place it and project it onto other relationships. But the notion of that this happened when I was young with regard to this relationship, so therefore I'm going to assume that all relationships are going to be like that. And that I'm acting out this relationship, with myself and my therapist, with my the way that I think my therapist thinks of me, the way that I'm interacting with family members, with friends, with significant others. All of these different concepts, are what's going on, transference, counter-transference, how the therapist is thinking of this client. All of these relationships are bringing to light latent material which is happening in the mind of the person seeking therapy. And by analyzing and understanding what we're looking at, we're bringing to light then this pattern. And if I can understand this pattern, then I'm either finding relief from symptoms, I'm finding, an answer to the riddle of my life. That's one of the yitzchokot. That's criteria number one.
What do you think that is?
What do you mean?
Nothing has changed. There is no solution. The problem is still there.
Right. So part of it is. Let's see the more of it, and then we'll ask the question again. But that question of what insight is and how insight works, that's the that's the stuff of psychoanalysis for sure. That getting that picture, that insight, sometimes definitely in Freud's writings would yield the relief of symptoms, because the notion is that whatever it was repressed. I couldn't talk about it for whatever reasons, of societal reasons, of shame, of all these different pieces. So as a result, it comes out through the subconscious. And then as a result, I'm getting the message that what's the meme? I understood the assignment. So I understood the assignment. I understand what's emerging from the subconscious. And then by being able to have my attention drawn to it, all of a sudden, so that sort of resolves the riddle, which is part of what was troubling me. That's at least in the psychoanalytic theory. So, for example, the patient came to recognize that her passive behavior with a male therapist paralleled her behavior with her boyfriend. The passive behavior in turn stemmed from a response to a highly critical father whom she feared. So, for example, this woman is acting in a certain way with a therapist, which is really the same way that she acts with her boyfriend, which is really based on her relationship with her father. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So what happens then is that the, if I can decode the riddle of what's happening over here, then you'll excuse me for quoting Nick Fury, then you get to solve the rhythm of the riddle of your heart, right? Then you solve the riddle of your heart. Iron Man 2 shout out, right? You get that so often. But you solve the riddle. You realize that this relationship is not, the way that you're playing this relationship out is the same way you're playing out a different relationship, is based on a previous relationship. And you're not necessarily thinking about the way that you're doing it, you're just acting in that way. You know, sometimes the therapist will say, like, you know, I feel like you're not necessarily talking to me right now. You're talking to somebody who isn't in the room, right? And if you can, like, you can examine that defense and see what's unfolding over there. Number two, the ability to observe one's own internal processes, personality, or psychopathology. The presence of insight is suggested when patients are able to distance themselves enough from their problems to observe them. We spoke about this a little bit. Last week, when we talked about you know, going through the catastrophe, seeing the catastrophe, and not being fused, as ACT would put it, and not being involved in the catastrophic feelings, being able to observe them, being able to speak about them, right? Having these feelings and having these emotions and being able to talk about them, despite the fact that on one hand, that we notice that there are two different directions a person likes to go. On one hand, a person might try to avoid and ignore them. Or on the other hand, a person might go and fuse with them and write stories in their head about these feelings and be swallowed up by the story and be swallowed up by the feelings without having the ability to distance oneself, observe, and be able to speak about it. You get totally swallowed up by the entire entire experience. So when a person is able to make that insight, right? So then that means that they're free enough of the, or we'd say nowadays, I think they said in the article, I believe they said in this article, maybe it was a different article I saw earlier today, the person then has agency. That while you realize that you're doing something, you're able to think about thinking about doing it. Like you realize that when the person, and go back to the previous example, can realize that they're talking to the therapist the same way they're talking to their boyfriend, then they can see it themselves. All of a sudden, they've taken themselves out and they can look at it with a little bit more distance. And having that insight can sort of take you out of the situation and see a bigger picture. So that could be another reason why you have relief from the symptoms. I'm sorry, I just performed the, you know, it's the same thing that when you're learning, and you say what Rashi's about to say, that, oh, let's see, Rashi, oh, he just said just exactly what I said, just a little bit more concise. For example, a patient may realize that she is being defensive in the midst of a session, that he is repeating a pathological identification by being excessively compliant. Right? He sees it, if they're able to realize that they just did that same thing that they keep doing, and they realize it, then already the insight begins, and then change can happen, because they're realizing that this is part of a cycle which keeps playing itself out over and over and over again. Number three, revision of pathological beliefs. Insight is also working when the patient begins to question and revise pathological beliefs. For example, the patient may say, "Maybe it's not really my fault that my mother is so depressed. Perhaps it is possible to experience things without anything catastrophic happening. Experience feelings without anything catastrophic happening." Right? So a person might say initially, like, "Oh, you know, one time I felt like this, and then something really, really bad happened. So from now on, I'm going to close off to all feelings because that really, really bad thing happened." Or the person is consistently blaming themselves about something that happened, right? And they can realize that, oh, you know, maybe it is my fault. Maybe I'm not the cause of all of this. Chances are you're not the cause of all this. Most of the time, you're really not the cause of all of this. you know, the understanding, by the way, right, in Moon Knight. Right, Moon Knight, where with the article dissociative disorder, where he creates the other personality because he thought his mother hated him, and he created a personality where that had a loving, normal relationship with the mother.
Yes.
So, because she said it's all your fault. You know there was a childhood accident and the brother died because the kids were being kids, and you know they went into a cave and the brother drowned. And so it creates a dissociative personality, and you know. So as a result, because he created in his mind the thought that I killed my brother, so I'm just a murderer all around. But there's this other guy, there's this other me, who has a nice normal life. So when you can reach that insight, now understand that's part of the notion of dissociative, dissociative personality disorder. That you create another self because the pain of the moment is so much that you can't bear to be there, and the brain will do that in an attempt to save you from pain. That's a fantastic thing, as disturbing as it is.
Save your life,
right? To save your sanity. Mm-hmm. In the same way. That's the idea of the fight, fright, or freeze response, you know, in terms of danger, where the brain will shut down in danger, a person will freeze in the face of danger, and then they blame themselves, well, I froze, why did I freeze? And the answer is because your brain was trying to save you from trauma. Now, the seeds of it are, you know, we're good, but it becomes maladaptive. You know, there you end up, you know, you end up in Egypt, like not knowing how you got there. Clearly, there's a problem, but the germ of it, the beginning of it, was, you know, is trying to save the present pain.
How is freezing going to save from pain?
Because the basically what the body does is it puts the brain in like a sort of high state, so that whatever horror is going on, it's not experiencing it. In imminent death, the body prepares so that the death shouldn't be so shocking and scary.
Is that what shock is for?
Hmm?
That's what adrenaline is for.
Well, that's the other end is to fight or flight, but also freeze when it sees that you know, fighting or flighting is not working. Fight or flight. First we try to fight, then we try to flight. And if that doesn't work, we freeze. So at least to try to save the psyche from the trauma of the trauma of death.
What about a deer?
What about it?
They don't fight or flee.
They just freeze.
Wouldn't save the brain from the trauma of being dead.
the horrific concept of the end of life. So it gets a little drunk, so it doesn't feel as much. Like it gets like the, you know, as opposed to having, you know, the experience of fear. It just like goes into a sleepy like type of. What's it called? High type of state.
Isn't it like from the evolutionary perspective bad? Because you're not fighting death, just kind of...
Well, no, so because that's where fighting or flighting have already failed. This is the last option. Exactly. This is the last option. If fight doesn't work, if flight doesn't work, so at the very least you could be spared the trauma. So recognition of the motivations of self. The patient may come to a new understanding about his or her motives. This may involve a recognition of wishes being expressed, fears that are involved, defensive function of behavior. For example, a patient came to understand he avoided writing because afraid to find out that he had no talent. The understanding that, you know, what am I running from? And sometimes I'll ask that to clients in session. Like, what are you running away from? Like, what are you running from? That's on them. Recognition of the motivations of others. Insight is indicated when the patient shows fresh understanding that the motives and feelings of significant others or change in his or her perception of others. For example, a patient who continually blamed her mother for misfortune gradually became aware of her mother's good intentions. Beliefs about the motives of others may be accompanied by the evidence or examples that support the veracity of these attributions. Then all of a sudden they realize, like, we have what we call paradigm shift. Like, you just see that, you know, that maybe they're not all out to get me. Deciding the degree of insight, the following criteria are used. Number one, historical significance. Other things being equal, insight into the patterns involving important figures from childhood is rated higher than involving only current relationships. Motivation of self. Other things being equal, insight into the motivations of self are rated higher than insight into the motivations of others. Three, centrality. Insight into that relates to issues that are central to the patient's presenting complaints is rated higher than an insight related to tangential issues. Right? So I have an insight, and it has to do with, oh, I understand why I like red shoes. Yes, but we're here to talk about why you only leave the house on even numbered days. Mm-hmm. Like, so your red shoes are tangential. It's important. Red shoes are important, but it might not be as key. Number four, depth. Insight may vary on how close it gets to the core of the presenting problem. For example, consider the case of a female patient has trouble being intimate with men. The recognition that the problem occurs only when she begins to feel emotionally involved in a relationship, though important, will not be as highly as the realization of unconscious fear if she allows herself truly be in love with a man that would disown her. Right? The fear of being able to be vulnerable, the fear of being able to be in contact with somebody, sometimes will
put... That her father would disown her.
Oh, right. Her father would disown her, right? So because that would mean again an image of what that means to me. They're not progressing past being a child or evolving in terms of a relationship. But that's part of one of the layers of the defense mechanisms which are present over there. Because what would that mean about me, right? What, and then realizing that no, it's okay to grow up from being like. Either that child or that teenager, or whatever that means, into being a mature person. And finally, conviction. Sometimes an insight will be stated tentatively before it is accepted. This would be rated lower than an insight that is fully accepted. So they say, well, maybe it means, right? As opposed to, I now see that XYZ, well, I'm thinking that maybe XYZ. Right, so that as a result, they've given us, so to speak, a way to sort of rate and classify the different types of insights that might emerge in session. So, the last little section over here. Additionally, guidelines for measuring insight include the following. Insight is not rated to if a patient merely repeats or agrees with an interpretation offered by the therapist. For insight to be considered present, patients have to have some degree of elaboration or exploration of their own. Right? So a therapist says, well, I think maybe you're doing this. Yeah. Right? Yeah doesn't count. Yeah. They say, oh, wait a minute, I never told you this, but, it would seem to be that, this makes this make sense. If it seems clear that patients are discussing an understanding that they had before they came to therapy, the score for the insight would be zero. Insight is rated only when the understanding is new to the patient. However, insights that occur between sessions or reported during subsequent sessions are being given full quotation credit as insight. Right. So what we see over here is that the formulation of insight and what insight can do and how it can change, the way that we're thinking, how we can be thinking, and it as a goal is very important. So I wanted to share with you a little bit from some Hasidic Sfarim. Turn to the back because I cut and pasted the wrong thing over here. Eight. I want to share with you from the Chiddushei Rim of Ger. He's the first Ger Rebbe, and it's a fantastic, fantastic insight. So he says as follows: when we're speaking of the man, right? The man, the food that fell, it could taste like anything. Isa shekol echad hirgish es tam ha-machal she-ratzel lechol v'shtokik lo. V'ma kaima az, mitzis gmilas chasadim. So he says that, if you can imagine, the man could taste like anything. Right? That's the midrash says, the man would taste like anything, could taste whatever you want. So if that's the case, how could anybody do tzedakah, do chesed, do kindness for people in the desert? Everybody had the mun. So what happens? She usher tar la ani es tama malchalim hatova. So what happens is that the rich person could go tell a poor person to think of a certain type of more rich food. Right? So you have somebody who only subsists on bread and water, bread, onions, and water. And he says, oh, you know what? Let me tell you about a hanger steak. Let me tell you about sushi. Let me tell you, like, the sauce for the poppers. Right? let. So, okay. On one hand, okay. Oh, it's a good word. Let's take it another step deeper, though. The step deeper is that what is the biggest chesed you can do for somebody? You can help them broaden their horizons. You can provide for them insight. Right? You can open their eyes to something more. Being able to have insight is the biggest thing. Ein ani ela bedas. There's no such thing. The poor is a state of mind, but it means that the poor person is most poor in their head. Right? To think it in as we'd say, a kleinekite. That's Yiddish for in a small way. Is they say in Hebrew, birosh katan. It's think with a small head. So to open a poor person's vistas, right, in that way, is a big tzedakah. That same way, do you see the power of what insight is? The power of insight, then, is to broaden one's mind, to open one's world, in that same way of a gemilas chasadim. Because the person, as it were, is entrapped by their hasagos. They're entrapped by their way of thinking of things. When a person is entrapped by their mind, being able to open your mind, much like the Matrix idea, right? Take the blue pill. Open your mind. The idea of opening, broadening your mind, we refer to it as moichin de katnis and moichin de godless, is the technical terms, the big brains and the little brains, right? That a far-reaching way of thought and a very, very constrained, confined way of thinking. The marketing campaign. Which, of course, is like a meta backwards thing. Free your mind, which is really where you're watching the movie, so where you're really enslaving your mind. But the idea being, right, though... Remind me what's it called. Remind me at one point, give you the shiur on the Matrix Resurrections. We dealt with that. Dealt with that last year. Gave that shiur last year.
Next Monday?
Next Monday we'll see what happens. I think we might have a special guest our next time. But the idea of opening one's mind being a tremendous chesed. Why? Because insight is a thing, right? Opening one's mind is a thing. So that's one idea. I believe, and I'm harboring a theory. I haven't had a chance really to research it fully, but I believe this is an idea that Chiddushei Arim is really very much all about. I believe that I'll tell you a story. I'll share with you another Torah from Chiddush Erim. So there's already three different Torahs talking about the same idea. I believe it's a big point, but I need to do more research about it. But when you see the article in Tradition, you'll know that I went there. So to break things up, I'll tell you the story that the Chiddush Erim very much wanted to visit his rabbi, the Rebbe of Kotsk. He wanted to go from, I don't know, wherever it was, Mistama, I guess it was Warsaw, to Kotsk. And, it was Friday morning. It was a bit of a trip. There was no Uber. Yeah, the next best thing was, he got a balagala, as they call a wagon driver. So he said, I have two strong horses. We'll get you there, Rabbi. It wasn't of the Yotzikol, it wasn't of the 36 hidden tzaddikim. We'll just leave it at that. But yeah, he wanted to do something nice. So he gets in the wagon, they start going. He pushes the horses. They slide into town by the skin of their teeth. And out of exhaustion, both horses drop dead. And Yeah. Both horses drop dead, and then the man is so brokenhearted about his horses, he also drops dead, right? So, Chiddush Erim goes to the Kotzke Rebbe and says, "I feel bad. Right? We should see what we can do for this guy for Gan Eden, for a heavenly reward." And so the Rebbe said, "Look, he wasn't from the 36 in Tzaddikim, but he did people favors. So I'll tell you." He was a wagon driver in Poland. And, the thing he complained most was about the horrible, muddy Polish roads. And the horses don't have strong, the wheels aren't round, and the horses couldn't pull. So from now until eternity, he's going to think he's on a road in Poland, totally flat, no mud, no bumps, totally round wheels, and a pair of strong horses till eternity. And Chiddush HaYarim davened that one day that he would wake up and realize that he was in a dream, that he would go on to an actual reward. Now, how do we know that historically this is true? I don't know. But the point of the story, again, what is the Chiddush HaYarim asking for? Insight. He's asking that someone can wake up from a dream and realize that to have that insight, to be able to see things clearly. Because once you can see things clearly, you can change. Once you can have insight, again, you can change. See, you see how there's a story about
it? Matrix here?
What?
Is that from the Matrix here?
It might be. I'm not sure if I told
it. It sounds like a certain part.
I definitely might have told it in a Matrix shear.
And I can see how you could apply it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you're not wrong. I might have told it at one point during a Matrix shear. But so, again, insight. Insight. We have a Vart from him. That's insight, a story from him. And here's a third idea from him also. We turn to page 7. It's a little bit more Hebrew. You'll excuse me. Basically, the Chiddush HaYarim is dealing with a famous teaching from the Zohar Kadosh. A famous teaching from the Zohar that he says, that the Zohar says that in the 600th year of Noach's life, like we said, he lived a long time, the gates of wisdom opened. Right? And the 600th year of a certain time, the gates of wisdom will open, like it says that the fountains of the deep will burst open. In the same way that the fountains of the water burst open in Noah's life, and water came up from below, came from above, and flooded the world. Here, there's going to be a flood of knowledge. So, anyone who was an 1840 podcast fan, Rabbi Shefkin, so he called it 1840 because it's after that specific year. It's in that time period that you had both, the Vilna Gaon and his school of thought. You had the Baal Shem Tov and his school of thought. And, and as well as scientific revolution, all like occurring in this 1840 type of time. And there was a lot in the revolution of human understanding that was taking place in the year 1840. And there are those who explain that this Zohar in that way. So the Chiddush HaYarim says, so what does this mean? How am I supposed to understand that? So he said that oftentimes a person gets caught up in certain things. They get stuck in certain things inside of their head. That's why he says that the fountains of wisdom will open up. The gates of wisdom will open up. Right? Gates, very important. That what the Zohar is referring to, get wisdom as a gate. Right? Everybody think about it. You've heard of the Midrash. Zohar using a phrase, the gate. Right? The gates of wisdom. Oh, the gates of wisdom. Wow, that's pretty cool. The Ramchal has a sefer called the 138 Entries of Wisdom. Right? That we have an allegory, right? So much of our of our teaching is based in allegories and isn't based in metaphors as well, and the understanding of metaphors. A gate is something that you have to, if it's open, you still have to go in. Right? You still have to enter the gate. So a person might have a thought that gets stuck in their head in certain things, the Chiddush HaYarim is saying. But then, once the gates are open, you can go in. The same way this concept, again, of insight. Right? Once there's an insight, a person can go in. Again, I see a strong theme in all these different places from the same author. Like I said, I'm starting to believe that this is how would my friend Rav Joey Rosenfeld say it? He would say that it would be Alter's theory of insight. We got to coin it. You heard it here first. If he has Morganson's theory of despair, then we can also have Alter's theory of insight. That it's a gate to walk through. That insight is a big deal. I'll share with you one more. 8 on the bottom, the Sefer Neos Desha. It's one of my pet projects. He's the son of the Ishbitzer Rebbe, the Meish Loach, Neos Desha. is a pet project of mine. It's Hashem. We'll be having an English compilation of some of his Divrei Torah. It'll be available, please God, by this farm sale. The publisher is currently editing it, so we can daven. Hope that it's cool that it'll be out. The Noz Desha is a fantastic Torah. And eventually I hope to put out an annotated edition, because I have footnotes in a lot of this also. Please God, you should give me the strength. V'shamati mi avi zatzal. Shamayim va'aretz, heavens and earth, are hinting to the mind and to the heart. Shamayim hu ha'moach, shimachshav va'aretz, yineged bina shebalev. That heaven and earth are like the mind and the heart. And the idea perush lozehu ki adam hu olam katan ki yedo, because man is a small world. It's a theme in the midrash. Man is a small world. The ikar ba adam hu machshava shebamoach me'amoach nimshach machshava alalev. The person has a thought in his head that comes down to the emotional heart. Ashar guf nimshach achar shnei evarim ha'ilu. And a person goes after their thoughts and their emotions. So, if you go down to the bottom, by the underlines, it says ve'etzel azer sheyeh becholos ha'adam limsor machshava ve'alev la'Hashem yizbarach hu'ayidei divrei Torah. So the idea again is you take a thought, and the thought comes. He uses the example of heaven and earth, like the idea of the sky and the rain, and the rain nourishing the land. That same idea, a little bit more protracted, but the idea being that we have an idea, and the idea has a trickle-down effect to the heart. From the thought, then comes down to the heart, or from the thought to the heart, if we want to go like this. However we want to map the biology. But the idea is you have a concept, and then from there the concept grows out. From the Chochmah to the Bina, from the Shemaim to the Aretz, you have that Shemaim, meaning it's abstract, it's an insight, right? And then the trickle down from there, that little kernel of understanding, then grows into the rest of the idea. Again, a concept of insight. The thing is always, we go through our lives, and when we have the ability, lasim lev, to take a moment to think, litbonen, to think, to dwell upon something, that how many insights we can pick up about ourselves. And then if we have the time to realize, have a gate to go in, a snapshot in my mind to say, okay, well, now that I've had this understanding, what can change? Sometimes it's an insight to why I do things. Sometimes it's an insight to how I do things. Sometimes it's an insight to my relationships. Is it that which starts the process, or is it that I arrive at the process? Like we saw in the article, it can be both, right? The idea is it can be a gate. Now, sometimes the gate's opening is what convinces me to come in. And sometimes it's because I've gone into the gate, that's what's going to make me to give me the ability to make the change. I bless you, me and everybody, that we should have the ability to understand when we're getting an insight, and furthermore, then be able to take that insight and arrive at the end of the process.